There's been very little mention of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in Iowa, outside of that terrible Chinook helicopter crash in Afghanistan. Well, today more than 60 people were killed in a dozen cities in Iraq. Violence that is more evidence of the finding in a recent report from the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction that Iraq is more dangerous than it was a year ago when President Obama declared the beginning of the end of the U.S. combat mission there. June was the deadliest month for U.S. troops in nearly 3 years, 14 killed. And security incidents, 24 per day, are the highest level since 2009. So the question is, what will happen to the 45,000 Americans still stationed in Iraq? Will they be asked to stay beyond the end of the year? Stuart Bowen is the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. We spoke last week, and I asked him to tell us more about his sense of the violence more dangerous than a year ago.
Yes, and really it's devolved this year since January. And really troubling development has been the growth in assassinations of senior government Iraq officials. There were 70 attempts this last quarter with 44 killed. That's twice as many as 6 months ago. During my visit in May, my 30th trip to Iraq over the last 7 years, the Deputy Commanding General underscored the fact that this rise in assassinations is a serious problem.
Yeah.
Especially since it's focused on Iraq security.
Army General Lloyd Austin recently told reporters in Iraq that in 2007, we had 145 incidents a day on average, sometimes as high as 200 incidents in one day. You're saying more incidents this year than last. He's saying fewer than years ago.
He's right, but the middle of 2007 was also the middle of a Sunni-Shiite civil war in Iraq. My red flag is really just to underscore the trouble that has unfolded this year. There's clearly an insidious strategy at work here on the part of certain militias focusing on killing senior police officials in Baghdad and beyond. And that practice, you know, fundamentally undermines the investment we've made in training those forces if their leaders are being taken out one by one.
And as you have said to us, the facts are the facts, and you're just stating the facts. I guess the question is, how do those get interpreted? We hear, oh, this is the last gasp of a dying insurgency, or the concern that this is a regrouping in anticipation of troops leaving.
Well, if you look at the news from Iraq, you see Sunni groups threatening to re-engage in violence if the United States decides to stay and keep troops. And Muqtada al-Sadr issued another ominous diktat saying that he is going to deploy his Mahdi militia, which was responsible for so many of those killings back in 2007, if we decide to keep troops in country. You know, one other point to underscore about June. You mentioned June was the deadliest month, 14 killed. Relative to the 46,000 troops we have in country, if you compare the ratios of deaths, 14 to 46,000, then June was the deadliest month since August 2007. We had over 100,000 troops then. Things have fallen a bit from the secure level they were at the beginning of this year.
Because we have fewer troops.
Right.
We've been presenting this as, you know, a question of whether or not U.S. troops are going to stay. Will it be their choice? As we said, Americans are waiting to see whether Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki will invite them to stay, something that has to legally happen in order to give U.S. troops immunity in the country. They have to be invited to stay beyond this cutoff date.
That's right.
Is there a certain point beyond which U.S. troops may not be able to pivot? First of all, there's a drawdown going on, and secondly, there's a debate over financing. President Obama budgeting $11 billion for 2012 for Operation New Dawn in Iraq. But if the troops don't leave, we're talking considerably more money.
Well, it depends on how many troops are kept. If it's 10,000, I think that's certainly doable. And I think if the Iraqis make the request, it is absolutely doable. But that's a big if.
And part of the problem is that Nouri al-Maliki says that he's not going to make a decision until Parliament's in order there. Parliament's very much in disarray. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But he's also sending mixed messages. On the one hand, hasn't invited U.S. troops to stay. On the other, he's announced that he will revive a deal to buy multimillion-dollar fighter jets from the U.S. and that he will need American trainers.
Well, there's going to be some continuing training presence under the Office of Security Cooperation. And that'll have, you know, 3,000 contractors and U.S. personnel supporting the ongoing efforts to provide training to the Iraqi army. So make no mistake, there will be some training and training presence beyond the end of this year. But I think that Secretary Panetta and Admiral Mullen were hoping that that presence would be more robust. Their recent remarks calling on the Iraqis to ask for a more robust presence, and specifically it will help tamper the tensions along the green lines, as it's called, between Arab Iraq, the southern 15 provinces, and the Kurdish provinces. And there's some serious issues that are yet to be resolved there, particularly with regard to Kirkuk. The Office of Security Cooperation will include at least 120 military personnel that will be charged with continuing to train Iraqi Ministry of Defense personnel and Iraq security forces, and about 3,000 contractors in support of that process as well. That's a significant continuing presence, and there's several billion dollars in Iraq security forces funds still yet to be expended. That's part of the money that's under my oversight, and so we will continue to review that over the next year.
Stuart Bowen, he's Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. He recently returned from his 30th trip to the country. We spoke last week about his latest quarterly report, which cites both a spike in violence as well as his office's efforts to control what he calls the abuse of taxpayer dollars through contracts awarded in Iraq. Now, in their report, he tells, for instance, of the Dubai-based Anham Company, which has a $120 million contract with the Department of Defense. The report goes on to say that auditors found significant weaknesses in the government's oversight, which put the government at risk of paying unreasonable costs. I'll say $45 for a circuit breaker valued at $1.83, $4,500 for a circuit breaker valued at $1.83, $1,000 for a $94 circuit breaker, more. We asked Stuart Bowen, how can this still be happening? We remember when there were toilet seats valued at $10,000.
Yes, Senator Proxmire spinning in his grave. You know, this is a golden fleece moment, as he used to highlight decades back. And sadly, this is a relatively common recurrence. But that's why I'm on the job, and why my auditors are in country, and why my investigators are pursuing issues like this. $900 for a control switch that valued at $7, 12,000% markup. Sure, it costs more to ship things to a war zone, but not 12,000% more. And that's the kind of abuse that we need to catch, and in particular to hold the U.S. agencies responsible for overseeing this and bring them to account. And I'm happy to say that those agencies have concurred with our findings, and they are going to go back and review all of Anham's contracts in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I trust achieve some recovery for the taxpayers.
And how did it happen in the first place? Is it not enough people on the job of oversight, the overseers not taking oversight seriously? What's the problem?
Robin, I think both and more. I mean, the fact is that Anham's business systems were approved by an entity called the Defense Contract Management Agency when they really shouldn't have been. There were numerous flaws identified during the review, but they were simply given a pass in hopes that they could be resolved through invoice review. But invoice review is a huge weakness in the Iraq program, presumably in the Afghanistan one. So many of them are simply rubber stamped and paid, and the hope is that another agency called the Defense Contract Auditing Agency will catch them through incurred cost audits later. That's not the right way to serve as a watchdog for the taxpayer regarding billions of dollars. And so we're trying to emphasize greater vigilance and thus greater protection for the government's value in these programs.
Stuart Bowen is the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. They just issued their quarterly report concluding the country's more dangerous, finding, as he was just saying, terrible lack of oversight of contracting in Iraq. But there was good news.
Yes.
What good news did you find?
Well, Iraq's economy is growing at better than 12% this year, up from less than 1% last year. Oil exports at over 2.2 million barrels per day, again, record highs. You know, if they could get their export levels up and their storage capacities expanded as they hope, then they could be producing at even higher levels. But electricity continues to be a challenge. They put out about 6,500 megawatts per day on the grid this past quarter, but demand is over 11,500, so barely more than 50% of demand being met. There are serious issues of corruption, I think, within the electricity industry. Just news out of Iraq about false contracts, false companies that have been awarded contracts in Iraq, and allegations among the various political parties about who's benefiting underscore the fact that the rule of law system is so crucial to providing security, so crucial to providing stability across the civil society, is still very weak.
And one last question. Your conclusion there are up to 1,000 al-Qaeda militants in Iraq? Is that a lot? I just don't have any context for that.
Fewer than 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but recent news that there is an attempt by al-Qaeda in Iraq to regenerate and to expand its numbers, perhaps driven by the discussions about the possibility of troops staying. But however many there are, they're still a very lethal force.
I liked it better when we ended on the good news.
We hope that the Iraq story can end on good news, and they certainly have the capacity because they have extraordinary oil and gas reserves. And if they can get their rule of law system stabilized, and then if they can stabilize the attack levels and provide a level of internal security that keeps the populace safe, well, then we will end on good news.
Again, Stuart Bowen, Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. His report comes as the 3-year security agreement between the U.S. and Iraq comes to an end in December, and U.S. officials wait to hear if Iraqi officials want American troops to stay. Mr. Bowen, thanks so much.
Robin, thank you.